So, we're going to start off with another joke. Everyone knows the story of Doubting Thomas, we just heard it, and his reaction to the death and resurrection of Christ. He was famously known for insisting on seeing the wounds for himself, and while most think it's because he didn't believe the story he was hearing, I know it's because he wanted to confirm that Jesus was indeed a holy man. I can't take credit, I found it online, but it was too good to not use. Grace to you and peace in the name of our hilarious creator, our can't keep him down savior, and our holy heckling spirit. Amen. So I wonder if you've ever had an experience where something happened right in front of you and you still couldn't quite believe your eyes. Like whatever it was just didn't seem like it could possibly be real. Anyone? Maybe? I mean, it could be supernatural things like ghosts or UFOs. I'm pretty sure I saw the ghost lights of Paulding, which is a local legend in Upper Michigan, where I'm from, in the western UP, I'll use my hand. Though the theory is that you go to this one spot in this tiny, insignificant town called Paulding, and you can see these ghost lights coming towards you. The legend is that it's an abandoned railroad, and the light is the railroad conductor like using his lantern to guide the train. And it looks like it's coming towards you, but never actually reaches you. And I always heard things like, well, it's because of moss on the trees, or it's the highway or whatever. And I'm pretty sure everyone's agreed it is cars on the highway that are coming. But it still looked really cool. I did see them. I'm kind of convinced that they were ghosts. But I'm also just, I was 20. We believe things when we're 20 that, you know, 20 years later we don't necessarily still believe. Now I'm wondering if you've just ever experienced something beyond your wildest imagination or dreams. Maybe it was a visit to the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, these incredible wonders of the world that even when you see it, it's still hard to just wrap your head around the depth and the grandeur of these things. Maybe you've seen the Northern Lights. That seems kind of like a rare thing. Or a shooting star. I mean, we know there are some days, the Pleiades and a few others, where you're kind of guaranteed if the sky is clear. But when we have these kinds of experiences, we can't always put into words what it has felt like, what it really meant for us. And it's hard to describe with kind of the accuracy that we want our experience so that somebody else can experience it the way we did, or even at least try to understand it the way that we did. And this is even when our experiences are positive and exciting, like visiting the Grand Canyon or climbing Mount Everest. But I think it's also even more difficult to try and verbalize or process so that others may understand when we go through something very challenging and traumatic. And so that's why, right off the bat, I think we want to give all of these disciples a little bit of grace. Because they have just come out of something incredibly traumatic. When we meet them at the very beginning of our gospel today, it is still the same day that Jesus resurrected, but they don't know that yet. They still think and are remembering and reimagining his crucifixion, his capital punishment, where they saw their teacher and friend humiliated. They are overwhelmed with grief and trauma that is too much to put into words. And it is hard to believe anything anybody is going to tell you when you're in the thick of it, in that emotional and mental spiral. So we're going to give them a bit of grace. Right before this part of John's gospel, we hear about Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Christ. She also was so overwhelmed that she didn't recognize Jesus right in front of her. She thought he was a gardener tending to the garden until he said her name. It was in the hearing of her name that she knew this was her Lord. And so when she told others and they told the disciples, they didn't quite believe it either. This is what happens when we don't quite always understand what's going on around us. The disciples heard Mary's story, and they didn't also really believe it until Jesus showed up. But even then, they didn't really believe until Jesus said, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands. See, they didn't ask for it like Thomas did, but it is after that moment that they believed. Thomas, too, also had heard all of these things. And even when you hear everybody say the same thing to you, if you weren't there, you don't quite know. So we're going to give him a bit of grace, because he hadn't had that opportunity for such a personal one-on-one encounter. And I will say, let's just take a moment to notice that as John writes about both what Thomas asks for and how Jesus responds, we don't actually know that Thomas actually touched the wounds. We know he asked for that possibility, and maybe that's enough. Just the ask is trust enough to say, "Lord, I just need a little extra." It doesn't necessarily have to come, but that's okay. I think that's what makes it good news for us today. Because unlike the disciples who were there to receive those tangible moments and an encounter with Christ, we are many, many Sundays after the fact. And I think we too yearn to believe. We want to see. We want to touch. We want to know the risen Lord. And we also want to trust that the experiences we have of the divine are what we hope and believe them to be, even when they may be unlike anything we can describe to another human being who might understand. We celebrate the absurdity that is the resurrection because it doesn't make sense given what we know about the way the world works. And yet, Jesus still appeared. And see, Jesus still does appear here and now, just not in the same way that the disciples had. Jesus can still be seen among us in our presence. We celebrate that every week when we proclaim that Jesus shows up here at this table where we share in this meal, where Jesus is made known to us through bread and wine, body and blood, a mystery of faith that we celebrate every time we gather for worship. Jesus shows up too when we remember our baptisms, when we celebrate the newly baptized, when we recall this overwhelming and abundant promise of God to be with us always, as real to us as water that is splashed on our heads, or maybe we have been immersed in it. Jesus shows up among us when we share our vulnerabilities and our fears, our dreams and our pain, and our joy with our beloved communities. Jesus shows up in our midst, when we pray for one another, when we ask for help, when we sit with one another, when we wrestle through faith and doubt, Jesus shows up when we use our gifts and our talents and our privilege in ways that promote justice and equity and possibility for all of God's people. And even though we may not always be able to use words to describe this unbelievable love of God, that died on a cross and rose again on the third day forever, removing the sting of death, it also doesn't make it any less real that the love that Mary heard in Jesus' voice when he called her name, or when they felt the peace that Jesus offered in the middle of a locked room, or even in the trust it took to ask Jesus to see those wounds, the love of God is unbelievable and overwhelming and abundant. And that is no joke, even though we do celebrate and have a little chaos today. For that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.